Red Line.
Welcome to Radio Sputnik and its weekend program, The Red Line, with me, Andrew Kurepko. Welcome to today's program, and this is what we'll be highlighting as the news-breaking stories of the week. They have proved to be extremely tense, dramatic, and controversial. Iraq War, Round 3. As Republican presidential contenders ratchet up their rhetoric about deploying ground troops in Iraq, outgoing Army Chief of Staff Raymond Odierno says that this is precisely the step that the U.S. needs to take. Russian-Chinese naval drills. Message to Abe or to America? Russia and China are scheduled to begin their largest ever joint naval drills this week in the Sea of Japan, with observers wondering whether this move is a signal to Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe or to the United States. And also, Joe Biden, from VP to President. Vice President Joe Biden broke ranks with Obama recently by saying that the Chattanooga shooting was carried out by a, quote, perverted jihadist, making many wonder whether he's trying to distance himself from the unpopular president before announcing his own bid for the country's top leadership position next month. So, let us come to our first section, Beyond the Headlines, to speak about how the U.S. might get itself caught up in a third Iraq war. As Republican presidential contenders ratchet up their rhetoric about deploying ground troops in Iraq, outgoing Army Chief of Staff Raymond Odierno says that this is precisely the step that the U.S. needs to take. Many Americans don't think that their country is winning the so-called war against ISIL, and some of them are clamoring for the type of response that Odierno and the Republican candidates are advocating. Iraq is domestically a mess, with daily protests against the government nowadays, and it looks like it's more divided than ever when ISIL first launched its offensive late last year. So, joining us in the studio right now to discuss all of this and more, political analyst and journalist, Mr. Dmitry Babich. Hi, Dmitry.
Hi, nice to see you in the studio.
Hey, thank you for coming. It's always a pleasure to have you here. I want to begin our discussion by quoting a very interesting article I read from National Interest. It's by Richard Burt and Dmitry K. Symes called Foreign Policy by Bumper Sticker. And this is what they say, just but one excerpt. Mm-hmm. Anyone who claims that U.S. policy in the Middle East has been a success over the last 15 years should define what a disaster would look like. And they also said, yet the very warrior intellectuals who were directly responsible for today's state of affairs dominate the foreign policy advisory groups of nearly all the Republican candidates. So your thoughts on this?
Well, I think it's really sad that we have this talk of war again about Iraq. And what I find especially disturbing is that there is no pacifist camp in the American big politics on this issue. I mean, there is a debate whether Iraq should be bombed, you know, or the ISIL positions on the Iraqi territory should be bombed. There are even some hotheads who say that the United States should also bomb Assad's positions in Syria to help the so-called moderates. But there are no voices for peace, you know, for cooperating with the Assad regime and maybe even with Iran in defeating ISIS. There are no voices of regret for what the United States actually did in Iraq. So, quoting the same article that you quoted, you know, Dmitry Symes and Richard Burt in the National Interest, I like their definition that there was Einstein's well-worn doctrine, I quote, that the definition of insanity is trying to do the same thing all over again with the expectation of getting a different result. I mean, George Bush the senior already waged the war against Iraq. Clinton actually kept Iraq isolated. There was this no-fly zone, constant pressure. It didn't produce any good results. George Bush the junior attacked Iraq, and there was that terrible war. Is the United States going to do the same thing again? I think it's a classical case of impunity, you know, precisely because people are not held responsible for past mistakes. And right now, the invasion of Iraq in 2003 is seen as a mistake in the United States. But, you know, there were thousands of people who wrote articles, who made policy memos, who made this war actually possible, and none of them was even fired. I'm not talking about criminal responsibility or political responsibility.
Right now, we're joined on the line by Mr. Kavork Almasyan. He's a researcher in international affairs. All right, so Kavork, the U.S.'s air war against ISIL has obviously failed, and some say this has been on purpose. So do you think that a ground war could be the answer, or might that have been what the U.S. wanted all along?
I think the air campaign of the United States against ISIL totally failed, because it wasn't a comprehensive strategy in order to degrade or to destroy the presence of ISIS, its headquarters, leaders and the communication system of ISIS. We all know that ISIS was present in the Syrian situation a couple of years ago, and the DIA Defense Agency knew about the presence of jihadi elements, including the Muslim Brotherhood, Al-Nusra Front, and ISIS fighters were coming from Iraq. But at that time, the United States didn't want to intervene because the ISIS was fighting the Syrian government, so they had a mutual enemy at that time. But then the threat or the danger of ISIS has increased into extent that ISIS now is posing a threat on the allies of the United States in the region, so they have to deal with it. But how should they deal with ISIS? They don't want to destroy it, a total destroy or total destruction of ISIS, but they want it to weaken into extent that it can operate, still can operate in Syria and Iraq, but not to impose a threat on the allies of the United States. Now, if you ask me the question that, is there any need for ground troops in Iraq and Syria, American troops? I say no. No need for boots on the ground. American boots on the ground in Syria and Iraq. The answer is very simple. Don't fight the Syrian government. Don't fight those who are fighting the ISIS. In Syria, we all know that the United States, the European countries are imposing harsh economic sanctions against the Syrian government. The Syrian government is fighting ISIS. At the same time, the Israelis, the Qataris, the Turks, the Saudis, all these countries have their proxies in Syria. So the United States, if it is serious to destroy ISIS, it should put pressure on its allies in the Middle East, and more importantly, Turkey. Turkey is sharing 800 kilometers border with Syria, and most of these multinational jihadis are coming to Turkey into Syria. So if the United States want to stop this phenomena to increase and guard and impose other security threats on other countries, they should deal with the source of the problem. Ideologically, it is by Saudi Arabia, and financially and all logistic support is from Turkey.
Okay, so I guess just as the concluding question, then I want to ask you what people are saying there in the region. I mean, I know you're from the region, so what are people's views on everything? And do they think the U.S. could put boots on the ground and launch a third Iraq war?
I think if we ask the majority of the people in Syria and Iraq, they will say they're upset from the American policy in the region. They believe the Americans, they are adopting double standard policies regarding the Middle East. On one hand, they say they are fighting terrorism, but on the other hand, they are supporting the countries who created ISIS in the region. The people tell the Americans that to stop intervening in their own affairs, because all these troubles started since the Iraq war, the invasion of Iraq in 2003. And all these wars had its repercussions on the social level, on the economic level, on the political level. Now, without the American intervention in Syria, there was zero possibility for such groups to grow, because they want the proper environment to guard and to be active. So if there is an instability, if there is a strong government, there is a strong army, these terrorist organizations will not see a birth. But when the American government, also the Western governments, target the backbone or of the governments in the Middle East, or they try to destroy their national armies, this will be the consequences of these policies. If you weaken the governments, the alternative will be chaos, disorder, and so these terrorist organizations will find the proper place to be active.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Kavor, for coming into our program. We appreciate it.
Red Line.
Right now, actually, we have another expert on the line, and that's Mr. Nikolai Surkov. He's an expert on Mideast affairs, currently writing for Russia Beyond the Headlines. Yeah, so, you know, we're discussing the possibility of a third Iraq war, if you will, and it seems to me and our in-studio guest, Mr. Dmitry Babich, that the only lesson learned by the U.S. was that it should have kept its troops in longer, not that the war was a mistake, or even if one wants to argue for it, that it was mismanaged horribly after the fact. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, probably that would be the best solution, since only foreign troops can maintain stability and, well, a certain degree of security in Iraq. Currently, the government just is incapable of doing such thing because, well, it's fractured and the whole society is fractured. Actually, the presence of American troops was the only reason for keeping the whole country together. Now it's splitting, inevitably splitting in several parts. So I think, yes, the best solution would be to bring back foreign troops in order to pacify the country and in order to fight the ISIS militants.
Well, you know, I have another question for you then. I mean, other than fighting ISIL militants and, let's just say, keeping stability, do you think there could be any other geopolitical factors behind any American decision as well? I mean, as we know, a common criticism of the previous Iraq wars was that, well, the country smack dab in the middle of the Mideast, and it really provides the United States a prime position in regional affairs. What are your thoughts?
I don't think that now active involvement in the Middle East will bring the United States any kind of bonuses, since, well, the United States already has everything it needs in the Middle East. I mean, military presence in the Gulf region, oil supply if necessary, good relations with the Saudi Arabia. So all things actually are on the table, and well, I don't see any real geopolitical benefits. Even Iranians are now much more cooperative, so any kind of presence in Iraq will only bring more trouble, more expenses for the taxpayers, but not any real benefits. But on the other hand, there is such thing as responsibility, since it was mostly George W. Bush administration which started the whole mess in the region. So I think it's the moral responsibility of the Americans at least to bring this country back to a resemblance of stability, to finish the job, since no one else is capable of doing it, this. Otherwise, well, regional players, as far as I can see, they tried to intervene. The Saudis were trying to meddle in the Iraqi affairs. The Iranians were trying to meddle in the Iraqi affairs. But all we have now is the actual split of the country. So there must be some kind of a force which will bring Iraq back to unity and to will restore the integrity of the country.
Okay, well, Mr. Sirkov, we also have another guest on the line alongside you, and that's Dr. Saeed Mohammad Mirande from the University of Tehran. Can you comment more on the Iranian contribution to the anti-ISIL war? I mean, we know that Iran has been instrumental, if one will say, in fighting back against the terrorists in Iraq and supporting various sides that are doing that. And actually, it almost seems to some that Iran might be one of the only reasons why Iraq is still unified to this day. What's your take on this?
I would agree. I think that the Iranians have played an instrumental role in preventing ISIL from taking Iraq completely. And indeed, if Iran hadn't supported the Syrian government in the face of the extremists, I think that Syria too would have met the same fate as Iraq. And if Syria had fallen, I think Iraq would have definitely fallen by now. So the United States, from an Iranian perspective, is the player that bears the most responsibility for what has happened in this region. And the U.S. invasion of Iraq on the one hand, as well as the U.S. support for the civil war in Syria, as well as U.S. support for extremist groups, which has now become public, the most senior U.S. military intelligence officer, the former head of the National Intelligence Agency, has admitted publicly that the U.S., the rise of ISIL was the willful intention of the U.S. government. And of course, the U.S. vice president had said last year that regimes in the region, U.S. allies, were funding ISIL, as well as other terrorist organizations like the Nusra Front, which is al-Qaeda. So while the Iranians have been struggling to contain this menace, the United States has been the main cause of the rise of these extremist organizations across the board.
Dr. Mirande, we only have about 30 seconds left, so I just want to ask you, in Iran, what are people saying about the possible reintroduction of American ground troops to fight ISIL? Because many in the American government are now suggesting this as what they say the only alternative. So what do people in Iran think about this?
I think people in Iran are very skeptical of the U.S. role in the country. The Americans have destroyed Iraq in the first place. They're the ones responsible for this mess. They're the ones who also destroyed much of Syria. The Iranians don't believe that the Americans have the intention to destroy ISIL. The Iranians believe that the Americans want to contain it. Otherwise, if the Americans were serious about destroying ISIL, they would stop the Turks from supporting this group. They would stop the Turks from supporting al-Qaeda. And right now, the Saudis, which are key U.S. allies, are supporting al-Qaeda in Yemen And the Americans are helping the Saudis there. And the Saudis are supporting al-Qaeda in Syria. And again, the Americans are siding with the Saudis. So no one in Iran really takes the United States serious, nor what the Americans say at face value.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Dr. Barani. That was very informative. Thank you. So we're wrapping up our first section of Redline, and we got to thank all of our guests for participating. And this begins with our in-studio guests, Mr. Dmitry Babich, political analyst and journalist, Mr. Kavork Almasyan, research international affairs, Mr. Nikolai Surkov, expert in Mideast affairs, currently writing for Russia Beyond the Headlines, and finally, Dr. Saeed Mohammed Morande, a professor at the University of Tehran. Following in our program, we have Russian-Chinese naval drills, message to Abe or to America, and Joe Biden from VP to President. Stay with us.